The castle of the bishops and archbishops of St. Andrews is one of the most impressive castles to have come down to us from medieval Scotland. It may seem odd to the modern viewer to think that a leader of the church should have needed a strong castle like this, but of course a bishop was a great landholder as well as a leader of the church, and he had to be prepared to defend himself. But also the castle was conceived of as a status symbol which expressed the social standing of the bishops in exactly the same way that their cathedral did. The first bishops probably had their residence within the cathedral precinct, although they also had several residences elsewhere as well. But it was Bishop Roger in about 1200 who decided that he'd build a new castle for himself on the promontory looking out across the North Sea, and he laid it out to a pentagonal plan with great square towers at the changes of angle of the walls, and with a splendid gate tower in one of those changes of angle. Within the castle there were palatial ranges for the bishop to live in, because we have to remember that bishops expected to live in very considerable comfort. We also have to remember that there would have been outer courtyards associated with the castle right from the start, where a lot of ancillary accommodation like the stables and the storehouses would have been located. Those outer courtyards have now gone, unfortunately, but we do know something of them from early views. The castle suffered considerably in the Wars of Independence in the 14th century, and there was extensive rebuilding around about 1400 for Bishop Traill, who doubtlessly, as well as reinforcing the defences of the castle, also provided increasingly luxurious accommodation within the walls. But the bishops and later the archbishops did have to be prepared to defend themselves, and it was probably Cardinal Beaton who at some time in the 1530s or 1540s built two very, very strong blockhouses at the outer angles of the castle. These were designed to have cannon placed on them, which would have been a very formidable form of defence. But they were probably never finished, and they certainly weren't enough to prevent Cardinal David Beaton from being murdered within the castle in 1546, after which a great siege ensued. After the siege, Archbishop John Hamilton rebuilt the entrance front, probably in 1555, according to a rather weathered date that's on the building, and he created an absolutely wonderful frontispiece at the entrance front of his castle that was clearly inspired by the Chateau of France, with a wonderful confection of dormers running along the skyline. But in fact, of course, the Reformation came soon after this, in 1560, and although the archbishops did continue to have the castle as a residence, eventually the castle was taken from them in 1606 by Parliament. The siege of 1546-1547 clearly caused a great deal of damage to the castle, but one of the most interesting relics of the siege is a mine and countermine that was found quite by chance when a house across the road from the castle was being built in 1879, and when the foundations were being dug for this house, they penetrated through into the mine. It had been known that a mine had been dug as part of the siege of 1546-47, but nothing was known of what form it had taken. But it was possible to reopen both the mine and the countermine following on from the rediscovery in 1879. It's a very interesting contrast between the mine and the countermine. The mine itself was clearly dug at a fairly leisurely rate, and the gallery is very spacious, with carefully cut steps that would presumably have allowed pack animals to remove the waste rather than having to be carried out by humans. But of course, once the people within the castle realised that the mine was being dug and there was a threat to the walls of the castle if once the mine got under the walls of the castle, They had to start digging their countermines to intercept the mine before it got under the walls. And it's very interesting that there were several attempts to start digging the countermine before the mine was eventually intercepted. And really, from looking at the countermine, which is a very constricted series of tunnels twisting backwards and forwards as they tried to work out just where the mine was from the noise that was coming to them, you really get a sense of the tremendous desperation that there was in trying to ensure that the castle didn't fall to the mine. And I can think of nowhere else where you do get the sense of urgency that there was in the course of a siege than you get from the mine and the countermine.